Hi, I'm Gary Duncan, the Executive Director of Worldwide KFUO. Thanks for listening online to our programs, our stream, our podcast, our online on-demand audio. We appreciate you. Remember, KFUO is a listener-supported broadcast ministry, so we do rely on your support to continue. So please prayerfully consider making a gift today. You benefit from the programs, and you know how important it is to get the message out to the world. And that's what we do every day here at KFUO. For more information, you could call area code 314-996-1518 to talk to Mary, or 996-1520 to talk to Mark. Ask them about the different ways to give to the ministry of KFUO. Thank you in advance for your support. Also, tell your friends about us. Most important of all, pray for the ministry of Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Welcome back to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. I'm your host, Pastor Jonathan Fisk. For the next few minutes, talking with Dr. Daniel Harmelick of the Concordia Historical Institute on, historically speaking, what happened in history this week, this day in Lutheranism, and then maybe chatting a bit about the Small Catechism.
Lots going on.
Yeah.
Historically speaking.
Yeah.
So one of the services we provide is people can sign up, go to the lcms.org website, and you can sign up for these weekly emails of what happens in the week in Lutheran history. So if you like that kind of thing, you can, boop, you've got mail, you know, and you can read about what's going on through the year.
So give that web address real quick.
It's lcms.org, but you search for This Week in Lutheran History.
Okay.
And you just give them your email address, and then you're on the list.
If you Google This Week in Lutheran History, you'll find that too.
Right. So, for example, we have in 1921, on December 22nd, the first radio station license for a religious broadcaster in the United States was granted to the National Presbyterian Church in Washington, D.C. Within the next 5 years, there were more than 60 licensed religious stations, including KJS in Los Angeles and KFUO, right, in 1924, and Moody Bible Institute in Chicago in 1926. So KFUO was in the running.
Yeah, really.
But there were other horses in the race, too.
But of those, we're the last ones still running, as I understand it.
Unfortunately, those other stations have gone the way of all flesh.
Right.
Or maybe they just don't see the vision that KFUO sees as far as the future, how they can continue to do their mission of getting the gospel out.
Right. Right.
These days,
there's transitions to FM and a number of other things that happen too. But there's dare I say it, long and glorious history here of saying, no, even AM has got a value, and we're going to keep pumping this out, keep putting the word out, because it's where, well, people can find it.
Over 90 years here. So one of the things we're excited about is we're partnering with KFUO. And if you're visiting Wittenberg, Germany next summer, there's something big going on in Germany next year.
Oktoberfest.
Oktoberfest, yeah. Yeah, Christmas market. But in Wittenberg, Germany, at the fantastic museum there, they're putting on a once-in-a-lifetime exhibit on the Reformation. The exhibit is the 13th of May to the 5th of November of 2017. And as part of that, they're going to display these items featuring 95 people that came out of the Reformation. And guess what? One of those 95 people is Walter A. Meyer and his work in Lutheran radio here in the States.
Right, yeah.
So on display next to these other artifacts of Lutheranism throughout the world is one of the original KFUO microphones will be there for Europe to help Europe discover KFUO and Walter A. Meyer and Lutheran Hour.
And yeah, in Lutheran Hour, I think many of our listeners will know the name Walter A. Meyer, but some of them won't, that he was the one who pioneered the Lutheran Hour, a hourly or hour-long radio show, initially connected with KFUO, as I understand it, but now its own organization and doing other work as well, not just the show, but they're still on the radio, syndicated in a number of stations across the nation every week.
Used to be the high tech was they would have LPs, these huge, you think of a 33 and a third, right?
Yeah.
Well, these are even bigger.
Huh.
The turntables were even bigger. We have one in the archives at CHI. It takes up a whole room, you know. So they used to put Walter A. Meyer's talks on these LPs and distribute it that way. I don't know what happens when you open up the mail and it's broken.
But yeah, right.
Anyway. So if you're in Wittenberg, Germany, or you're planning a trip to Germany next summer, please make include in your plans to visit Wittenberg to not only see, you know, the Luther statue and the Melanchthon statue and the where Luther taught and the castle church and all that, but this fantastic exhibit, again, 13th of May to the 5th of November of next year.
Is CHI doing any particular event or travel event for the Reformation?
We're not having a travel event, but we're doing something at CHI. So beginning on February 18th, on the campus of Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, we are opening up a major exhibit on the Reformation, the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And the title of it is called Pressed into Service by the Word of God. It's going to use rare books and rare coins and medals to tell the story about how God, through His Word, pressed people into service for the sake of the gospel. Mm. So it's not this, aren't we great, we're Lutherans, and we began the Reformation kind of exhibit. It's more of, you know, Luther was a reluctant participant.
Right.
Chemnitz was a reluctant participant. C.F.W. Walther was a reluctant participant. They didn't sign up for the glorious Reformation.
Right, right, right.
So a kind of a refreshing spin on the Reformation.
Well, they never really intended to start a new church. They wanted to reform what was there. And so this...
No, so when you talk to people and they say, well, Martin Luther left the Catholic Church because he wanted to get married...
Yeah, right.
No.
Not exactly.
Go back and read history. So again, you know, CHI is all about, you know, getting the historical facts straight and help chart the course for the future based on where God has brought us in the past.
Well, and you mentioned, okay, again, the pressed into service, a pun playing on the coinage, playing on the printing press. And the other thing you kind of brought into the studio with you today, no one can see it but me, but you got a couple... older copies there of the Small Catechism and the long and glorious history of keeping this golden nugget, this jewel of the Christian faith, this Bible summarized in just a few pages, in print that we've been doing since. Luther didn't write this. He didn't make this thing up. He inherited this, but he brought it back to the people. He brought it to the fathers of the families. And then we've added, explained all that, but we've always had this be part of our core identity. We are Christians who believe something.
The topic of the next CHI quarterly is this the Small Catechism in English in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And when people talk about Luther's Small Catechism, I think unfortunately people get the idea that Luther invented the catechism. And again, the Reformation and Martin Luther, it was not about starting something new or creating something new. It was getting back to the good stuff,
right?
The real stuff, the true stuff. So the catechism, I mean, there were catechisms for Luther, but Luther had a way of clarifying and simplifying and boiling it all down that even little kids could learn the core,
right,
of what Scripture was all about. So I brought in today. One of the catechisms, when the Saxon Lutherans came to Missouri, they brought with them catechisms from Dresden. And again, during the time of C.F.W. Walther and Martin Stephan and the others that followed, there were plenty of different spins on the catechism. So one of the catechism versions that was most faithful to presenting Scripture in a truthful way was this, it was called Diedrich's Catechism. So that basically began, that was a foundation for what Missouri started to print when it came to the Small Catechism. We mentioned before, you know, it's interesting, some congregations, some places where Lutheran Christians settled in North America, before they built a fancy sanctuary, sometimes they built a school. And I think you could make the case, too, that before they started building fancy churches, the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod folk also created printing presses and printing houses,
right?
Because this was so integral to not only their Christian life, but getting the word out. So Concordia Publishing House, it's not just, you know, that's our little publishing house that we make things for us, but it's this is evangelism.
Right. At the time, it was so forward-thinking, too. I mean, they were so on the cutting edge of recognizing that this advent of technology wasn't just for me and my house, that this could do amazing things for the church. And if you ever get a chance to visit Concordia Publishing House and see some of their, where they used to actually produce the books, now they don't produce them in-house physically, but they did. The way that they designed the building was all around what was at the time the most advanced technology. Why, though? I mean, it's for these words, right? It's to recognize that in this Ten Commandments, Creed, and Lord's Prayer, the entirety of Christianity has been boiled down to its most essential level, in a way that it can be used by a child, it can be used by the most aged and learned Christian that there is, it can be used when you don't have the book because it's been put to memory and they can't take it from you, it's in your head now, and then establishing schools to teach it, establishing publishing houses to print it, establishing men's and women's groups to distribute it, right? Mm-hmm. The LLL and the LWML, it's all revolving around what this book is. And if there's a sad thing, a fear I have, with just about 2 minutes left here, Dan, is that catechism has become sort of even a bad word amongst Lutherans. It's just not a very valuable thing to us. It's kind of like, oh, that thing. Yeah. We did that when I was 12.
Unfortunately, you get people that say, well, it's not relevant for today. And then it's like, well, then what is relevant for today? The catechism, sometimes we think the small catechism is for little kids. And it's like, okay, large catechism, if you're over 18, then you go to large catechism. No, the small catechism is, okay, kind of get that under your belt, and then the large catechism, I mean, they were produced basically at the same time, right? The large catechism just unpacks it in even more way. So when the Dietrich's Catechism was first printed in English by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, it was fairly extensive. So they have over 600 questions and 600 scripture references going through the catechism. And this was the copy that I have here. It was printed in 1895. And you can see that these are used. These are worn out.
Yeah.
These
yeah.
are worn out. And that's a good
loved.
Thing, right? So by the 1940s, it was kind of like, okay, we need to kind of make this even more simple. I mean, we're at the point now that, again, literacy levels are not increasing. They're going down, right? So maybe someone has an idea of, okay, we'll just come out with a video. But no, it's, again, scripture is the written word,
yeah.
and this is reflective in the small catechism. So we continue to make changes. This last summer, field test edition for a new version went out, and now we're getting ready. In 2017, not only will there be the KFUO microphone in Wittenberg, but we'll also have a new catechism version
right.
to not only share in the home, in the congregation, but also to our neighbor who doesn't know anything about the distinction between law and gospel and what Christ has come to actually do.
And by new, we don't mean changing what's there. We mean updating the language and asking a few new questions that are pertinent to the age we live in, but always founded on that essential Ten Commandments, Creed, and Lord's Prayer, which are never irrelevant, which never go out of style, which never cease to be the way that God is saving his people. Talking with Dr. Dan Harmelick of CHI this morning on his time, Worldwide KFUO, back with weather in just a moment.